Book of Proverbs tonight, chapter number 3, the book of Proverbs. Chapter number 3, we're going to look at verses 13 down to verse 26. Are you glad you're saved tonight? If you're not saved, you're not very glad. Well, there's people who think they are, but they're not. Chapter number 3, I want to begin verse number 13, and I'm going to read down to verse number 26. It says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, and keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou layest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for your sweet, wonderful word. Father, we know that there is power in your word. We know that because as we go back and look at history, we find that you brought all the worlds into being through your word. We know, O God, from your word that we can come to have salvation, to be saved from the awfulness of hell to the beauties of heaven. We know by your word that one day you will slay the armies of the wicked. And so, God, we thank you that we can have it in our hands, we can learn and gain from it. Bless, we pray, the preaching of your word tonight. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. My question tonight, as I look at especially a couple of these verses and another that I will quote in just a moment, are you really interested in the safety of children? Let's ask that again. Are you really interested in the safety of children? It's interesting, in Proverbs 21:31 says, "The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." Safety is of the Lord. This week we have seen another great tragedy unfold before us. 17 young people were shot to death out of the rage of another. The common mantra that's being pushed upon us, stuck in our face time after time, is that we just need to have better control of guns. By the way, having good gun controls, being able to fire and hit your target. That was free, I just put that, I'm sorry. But what they're trying to say is really this: the regular common citizen ought not have possession of them. It's interesting that when we go to a document we call the Constitution, our forefathers saw the danger of such nonsense. By the way, nonsense means no sense. And they gave us the Second Amendment. Allow me to read that for you. "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." That means it's not to be regulated. Matter of fact, gun permits, I believe, is said not to be legal according to the Second Amendment. That's my opinion. You can like it or lump it. Just kind of where I stand at. The problem we face today with our young people isn't guns. That's not the problem. You know that. I know that. Weapons that are kept for the protection of one's family is not going to develop crazed maniac out of your child. I have raised 6 children and have, I don't know how many grandkids, there's a pile of them. And all through those years, I have had guns in the house. You may gasp at this, but they're loaded. An unloaded gun is no better than a rock. And whether it be a pistol, revolver, a shotgun, a rifle, a knife, or even a can of wasp spray, by the way, it's very effective. The problem is not the weapons. The problem is the heart. We as God's people, we understand that. Matthew 15, verse 19 says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." It all begins in the heart. The greatest threat, by the way, to American children is not a gun. It's a scalpel and vacuum. Over 3,000 were chopped up and sucked out of their mother's womb on Valentine's Day. That same day, there were 13 teenagers that died from alcohol abuse in some form. There were 2 more that went into eternity because of drug addiction or overdoses. Does it not seem strange that we lock up drug dealers, give license to alcohol vendors, and have our Supreme Court rule in favor of baby killing? I believe some things are really haywire. And amidst all of this, I want to go to another problem, that is the smugness of God's people when it comes to the consumption and approval of the second most deadly device to our young people. It is alcohol. 775 teens will die of drug abuse this year, but 4,700 will die of alcohol as drunkenness leads to car crashes, by the way, 28 a day, falls, fires, homicides, and suicides. 2 years ago, I had a funeral because the fellow was drunk and he fell 10 feet to his death. Amongst our citizens of our country, we find that alcohol abuse totals 100,000 people every year. That's almost 2 times the city of Council Bluffs. How can we rationalize this sin of alcohol in light of the Word of God? You may not know this, but we had what I thought was a good family leave our church a number of years ago because they didn't like my stand on alcohol. I guess they wanted to drink some. The Bible says wine is a mocker, and strong drink raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 28, he goes into some detail and he says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? And who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? I will seek it yet again. Isaiah said these words, they also have erred through wine. And through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Strange, we've had all that problem in our nation. Described here in the book of Proverbs and Isaiah, I have not heard one person calling for the abolishment of our alcohol industry. I ask the question tonight, are we really interested in the safety of children? Do we really care about their safety? I believe tonight, as I share with you, what I believe are two of the greatest dangers of all. I don't believe the greatest danger is our children go off to a school somewhere and somebody comes in with a gun and begins to fire. As awful as it might sound, I believe there's something far worse that can happen to every child. And the danger of it is very real. First of all, and the worst of all, is going to hell. It's one thing to lose our life, it's another to lose our soul. Much has been said this week about how we need to have strong perimeters around our schools. I have no problem with that. Much has been said about how we need to educate our students on defense measures. I have no problem with that. Those, I believe, are definitely needed. By the way, since I'm going to say all these things, we need it on our borders as well. But worse than dying is eternity in hell. And so often we don't set up the perimeters that need to be there. Instead, we teach our children that they are animals. And then when we wonder why they act like them. We say, hey, you came from a monkey. And when they begin to act like a monkey, we say, why are they acting so strangely? I believe our kids need something very definitely, and that's the wall of strong homes and churches where they will learn how to escape the ravages of the devil and his strongholds. He's out to get them. He's got his target zeroed in on them. They need that protective force round about them. We turn our own blood, and when I say that, our own children so often, away from the instruction of their church to schools that teach them that there's no God, that teach them that they were not created by a God, but they evolved. And thus, we are not responsible to them. We have all these young people about us, but we refuse to defend them. And not only those who are our own blood, but those who are in our community as well. To bring them into the safety of a loving church. Without this, there's going to be wrong thinking. I've heard this week many comments about mental illness. I asked Christina Fichter, she's got a degree in psychology. I says, what in the world is mental illness? You know what she said to me? I don't know. Didn't you say that? What is it? We hear it being talked about all the time. What is it? I believe mental illness is wrong thinking. We're thinking wrongly. And how are we going to change the thoughts of people if we give them not the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ? With that definition, by the way, any lost person is mentally ill. But we have a concern today, I believe, and that is if we're going to really believe that we're interested in the safety of children, there's a great danger. The greatest of all is the danger of going to hell. It is a very real danger. I believe there's another danger. I'm only going to deal with two tonight. You might laugh at my little thought here, but it's simply going to hell and going to pot. And when I say going to pot, I'm not talking about drugs. There's an interesting phrase here that has its basis in one or two places. It has its basis in gone by days when they would fix their meals and there would be bits and pieces of things left over. Maybe even bones and scraps and so forth. And they would take those things and put them in a pot with some water and they would boil that and make some sort of soup or broth from it. So it was going to the pot. It also referred to those who worked in some of our mills, and in places where they would put mental together and so forth, and there would be end pieces and what have you that was left over, and they would take it to the melting pot. It's going to the pot. In other words, it's a phrase that speaks of us as becoming nothing more than garbage that is recycled. Our children are going to pot. They're going to hell. And it's a sad day in our nation. When they're made to believe that they are the most important person in their family, they're on their way to going to pot. Say, what do you mean, preacher? They become proud and they have a better than thou attitude. They think the world revolves around them. By the way, wives, you ought to lift up and honor your husband before your children that they might recognize he's the head of the family. Now, the problem with that is in many families, he's not. And by the same token, husbands, we lift up our wives that our children might know the world does not revolve around them. But so many today, I've heard parents say, the most important thing in my life is my children. Really? You're going to probably have trouble one of these days. I'm not discounting that they are very important. I'm not discounting that we ought to love them. We ought to do everything we can that they might grow to become marvelous tools in the hands of God. But they need to learn something. That is, they're not the most important person. And ultimately, it is God. They need to understand. I believe we need to understand tonight that a lot of our children go to pot because we're more concerned with what occupation they will be employed at more than becoming a minister for the Lord Jesus Christ that will glorify God. And when I say minister, I do not refer to those who stand in the pulpit. I refer to any of God's creatures that seek to minister in the lives of other people. That's what becomes important. Not too often do I hear parents stand up with boldness and say, my son is a ditch digger. Why don't we? Is it not as honorable as the fellow who digs in your mouth as a dentist? Do we not need ditches dug? Do we not need to have these kinds of things occur? Why, definitely so. By the way, folks, we put a great emphasis on children, or I shouldn't say children, young people going to college because we want to be so proud of them that they have these big high-paying jobs. It's not about how much money you make. It's how much of yourself you give. That's the needed thing. And our children are going to pot. Why? Because we make the wrong emphasis in their lives. We make them believe they're the most important. We make them believe that they're more important than God. We will skip church and go to soccer practice or whatever else you can put into that area. Causing that child to believe God is not the most important, but He is. I believe also that we cause them really as God's people amongst our own blood children, when we seek to give them all the desires of their heart. I've heard people many times say, I want to give my children much better than what I got. I did try to give my children much better than I got. My dad and my mother did not swing the paddle at me near as much as they needed to. By the way, that's a gift. I've heard people say that, boy, I hate being the bad guy all the time. Who's the bad guy? The one who disciplines their children or the one who doesn't? Which one loves their children? The one who disciplines them or the one that doesn't? The one that gives them everything to keep them from crying or the one who's teaching them they need to learn how to sacrifice? Our children are going to hell. I know they're not safe in their schools today. I understand that. I understand that there needs to be some actions taken along that line. I understand that the perimeters need to be sewed up. But oh, how we need to sew up the perimeters around their spiritual life. Because not only are they dying, they're going to hell. Not only are they dying, but they're going to pot. Their lives are not counting for God. There's a job for us to do. Children in our homes, children in our communities, they need us to step up that they not go to hell or that they not go to pot. They need that from us. They need us to go out and to bring them in. They need us to teach them. By the way, they don't need our excuses. They need us. Amen? Yeah. They don't need us to say, I don't know how to do that or I can't do that. They need us to step up and just love them and do our best. I was told this many, many years ago. A preacher I knew, he said to me, I was going to take over the youth department out in Seattle. And he said this to me. He said, the most successful youth man I've ever seen in my life is in his 60s. And he said, the reason he is successful is not because he can play with the kids anymore. It's because he loves them and gives himself for them. I learned years ago that those who can convey to young people, it's not always the guy that can tell all the jokes and get them in stitches and laughing. I saw at camp year after year and years gone by, grandpas and great-grandpas stepping into the pulpit and telling it like it is and young people responding. There are some of you here who can remember Dan Allen. In his 80s, still preaching. You remember Al Wells, who came to our church for well over 25 years. Summer after summer, out there speaking to young people. And they responded. We use our excuses, but they're invalid. They need us. You and I, we've got the truth. We know the problem is not guns. We know the problem is not the weapon. We know the problem is the heart. And we've got to reach the heart. Not only the perpetrators, but the victims as well. Because their greatest danger of all is going to hell. Look around our young people. Can you imagine the flames of hell roaring about them? It's an awful thought. Can you look down the road 20, 30 years and see somebody who's just gone to pot. They're worthless. Their life's a mess. There's some great dangers out there. We need to step up. Amen. We need to step out and not use the excuses we've been using. There are kids in our neighborhoods. There's kids that we are around. There's young adults that we can be sharing the marvelous good news of Christ. They're everywhere. The problem is we aren't. We need to be. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, I pray, oh God, you burden our hearts. God, may we tonight not just see 17 young people laying with blankets over their heads, but 17 souls that have gone into eternity probably without Christ. But yet on that same day, several, many times over, went out into eternity because of other things. And they need our voice. They need our hands. Lord God, I pray that we become willing servants. We will become willing vessels for your use. Work in our hearts tonight. Burden us for these. Lord, do something in our lives as we look at these horrible tragedies, that we might recognize the tragedy is much, much greater than we have really expected. Work in our hearts. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.